570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, we continue. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. We've had a slight adjustment, Rodney, what we're going to do. We are expecting Les Snead to jump on, Rams general manager. But, you know, he's in a very important meeting.
Yes.
You can understand that. They have to make decisions. They just can't take time out for guys like us. But because we are who we are, he's going to come on a little bit later in the hour.
Yes.
So as soon as he finishes up his meeting, he is going to jump on. That'll give us a chance to talk about the Lakers tonight, playing in Philadelphia, 10-0 on the road. It's remarkable. It's an incredible feat that they cannot lose away from Staples Center. They'll have a chance to hook up with Doc Rivers tonight. Adam Oslin is on the board today, and he's also the host of the Clipper Countdown. He'll jump in. Adam, why do you think the Lakers have had this success away from Staples?
I think part of it is because of the strange circumstances surrounding this season, where winning on the road isn't as difficult. You don't have to deal with the fans, even if I think there are seven arenas now, or eight now, after Atlanta opened up to 8,000 people last night, that have fans, you know, sparsely spread out throughout the arenas. But the Lakers overall just looked really focused, and I think it's because LeBron James and the way he's playing. And if you're talking about what happened last season between him and Giannis Antetokounmpo, and you mentioned this after they beat the Milwaukee Bucks, Fred, but I do think there's some added motivation from LeBron James to come out of the gates when everybody thought he was going to rest, when everybody thought because they only had 71 days off between the NBA Finals and the start of this season, he would take more time off and it would be well-earned load management, and he's not doing it. And he's playing some of his best basketball right now. The 46 points or whatever it was he had the other night was just insane against Cleveland. Some of those shots he was hitting, and really all season long, you know, you complained when he missed that shot, the three-pointer against the Golden State Warriors at the end of that game, saying that's not a great shot for him. So far this season, he's shooting over 40% from three. He's been really efficient from the outside, and he hit seven of them against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So I think part of it is LeBron is on a mission, and everybody else is following the leader with the Lakers right now.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. He's shooting the ball well, and I was one of those guys of setting up a three-pointer for LeBron at the end of the game, but the way he's shooting the ball, you can't argue with that. Are you surprised that they're coming out this way, though, Adam? And do you think that that this will come back to bite them at the end of the season?
Well, I believe they are 13-4 right now, number one in the Western Conference. The one thing we haven't seen from them, though, as well as LeBron has played, and I think this also plays into him being the front runner right now for MVP, is the fact that Anthony Davis looks like the one who's taking the regular season off, who's been taking it easy. Outside of that game in Chicago where he had 37 over the weekend, he hasn't looked like the same player. And he's admitted he just isn't in rhythm yet with his shooting and his shot. So they're winning in spite of Anthony Davis not playing that well yet. The only thing that I'm really surprised with is they are the number one defensive team so far, and it's not that close. And we're 24% of the way, or 25% of the way through the regular season. And the Lakers have been the best defensive team. They were third last year. I openly admitted it. I think they're going to be worse on that end. Now, some of that's going to come in the playoffs when Marc Gasol is out there, when Montrezl Harrell could be exposed defensively. But they've been really good and focused on that end, and they're obviously better offensively. Last season, they were outside of the top 10 on offense. Right now, they're seventh. So the only surprise for me is defensively, they're even better, and the focus level they've had to start off this season is somewhat surprising. But if LeBron James, if you told me he was going to be going for the MVP, and he seems to be, there are no surprises.
Yeah, and a thing I've mentioned and I've been surprised about, these guys don't take any nights off. I really thought at this point, you know, they'd sit a game or two because of the delay or the short turnaround and starting the season. It's like LeBron really thinks, seemingly now, I've got so many games to play in my career, so I've now decided to play in all of them. I don't need any rest. I don't need to take a break. I don't need any load management. I'm good to go. And I really find that fascinating because he looks like he's 25, 26 years old.
Look at the block he had on Colin Sexton.
The best.
That they ended up reviewing. His head is right at the rim, like he is 26 years of age, like he's back with the Miami Heat in his athletic prime. I don't know how he does it at the age of 36. We've never seen anyone have this long, sustained athleticism prime as we're seeing right now with LeBron James. Maybe in any sport. Jerry Rice, I know, was putting up big numbers even at 40, Rodney, with the Oakland Raiders.
Yep.
You could say maybe he's in the conversation, but in terms of the NBA, I mean, at this point, he looks... I know MJ was 39 and 40 when he came back with the Washington Wizards, but there's a night and day difference between LeBron at 36 and everybody else at this age. Look at Marc Gasol. He's the same age as him on the Los Angeles Lakers, and at times he looks like a shell of his former self. Now, he was never the athlete LeBron is. Nobody is. But it's still impressive, and I think part of that is just because he's never suffered any catastrophic major injury. But you got to give him credit with the way he takes care of his body all the time. And I remember, I'm old enough to remember back in 2014, when he first came back to the Cleveland Cavaliers, there were times where it looked like he was taking nights off and people thought his steady decline of his prime was ending then. Since then, he's won a couple more championships and he looks to be better than ever this season. And I do really think that motivation is there to win the MVP and to prove last season that he was snubbed and it should have been him, or at least he should have had more votes in his favor, which is what he complained about. He openly said he was pissed about it. So when you have someone of his stature with a chip on his shoulder to start off a season where they just won the championship anyways, it's unique, but it's very LeBron.
Yeah, it's almost like what we watched with the Last Dance, right, with Michael Jordan. He had to continuously find ways to motivate himself. You know, somebody not saying hello to him at dinner. Mm. I didn't like that very much. I'm going to make him pay.
And I took that personally.
I took that personally. So it does feel that way with LeBron, doesn't it? It feels like, oh, they didn't think I was MVP. They thought I was washed up, and I took that personally.
Well, and the other reason I think they're playing so well is the roster is better constructed for a long regular season this time around because you have more energy guys with Dennis Schroeder and with Montrezl Harrell, who on nights when you can, we've talked about the dog days of the NBA season, Rodney, on those nights, those guys have basically one of the best or two of the best motors on the Los Angeles Lakers. With the energy that Montrezl Harrell especially gives you and how infectious that can be throughout the team. But they already had that culture built last season when they played hard during the regular season. Now you bring in somebody who also does the same thing in Montrezl Harrell. That was a perfect pairing for them during the regular season. I still think there are going to be flaws exposed with him in the playoffs. But right now, that's a huge reason they're playing this well this early in the year.
I found this interesting. Avery Bradley made some comments recently on a podcast, said he was surprised that the Lakers didn't re-sign him. Of course, Avery Bradley opted out in the bubble. Funny, now, hindsight 2020, you were probably safer in the bubble than you were anywhere as it played out. But nobody knew that going in. And he did what he thought was best for him and his family, so he opted out. He had a player option, so he could go out, look around. Miami offered him 2 years at $11.6 million. He made $5 million last year for the Lakers. He said he was disappointed the Lakers didn't re-sign him. But if you go out and look for another job and somebody gives you more, why would you be disappointed? Why wouldn't you have just said, okay, I'll re-sign for 1 year, whatever, and stay with the Lakers? How could he be disappointed when he himself went out and looked for another job?
He may be speaking out of both sides of his mouth. Now, I do think you have to respect his decision and what happened last season. And he played really well, and it's still impressive that the Lakers were able to win it all even without him in the bubble. But he was looking for a team, I think, that had a similar culture in the Miami Heat. So that was a good pairing for him to go there, and he got a second year on that deal. That was the biggest difference for him. But if he also has to feel slighted and have some of that LeBron James and Michael Jordan in him to have that extra motivation this season, that's maybe where he's getting it from.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Adam, what do you know about the latest? Will Paul George and Kawhi join the team at some point on this road trip, or are they, you know, what's the latest on those two?
My friend Farbod Essenshari from SI Now reported that they have been testing negative. So it sounds like, and I'm not saying take this to the bank, it's concrete, there are differing reports out there, but it sounds like it was due to contract contact tracing. They were somehow in contact with somebody else who had it, and therefore they had to get tested. But it also sounds like they haven't tested positive yet. So if that's the case, I believe there's a chance, and Noah Eagle and I were talking about this last night and going through the NBA protocol and trying to figure it all out, but there's a chance if they continue to test negative, they could be with the team on Friday in Orlando. But that sounds like the best case scenario, and there's still a chance they could test positive. You know, there's that incubation period, and they could miss the entire road trip.
Last night they lost to Atlanta. I just say an aberration. Kawhi and Paul George aren't there. Sure, you want to win every game, but when those two guys aren't there, it's basically...
Hard to take anything out of that. When you don't have Paul George, when you don't have Kawhi Leonard, but also Patrick Beverley. You're missing three starters in that game. And I thought there was a great effort. It actually felt like a throwback game to where the Clippers were a couple of seasons ago during the 2017-2018 year, the 2018-2019 year, where they had to play where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts to overcome a lack of talent and just outwork you. And they were up by five in the first half, and they were holding down Trae Young, but he had 24 points in the second half. And eventually that flood of talent and offense came from the Atlanta Hawks. But the Clippers' spirit was good. The energy was right. They just didn't have the horses to win that ball game.
Yeah. But overall, they have, and I've said it, I'll say it again, very quietly under the radar, a very good start to the season.
Well, they had just won seven straight until what happened last night, which was the second longest winning streak so far this season. The Utah Jazz, who I've been telling you guys about for a while, they're at nine straight right now. They've flown under the radar, and maybe that fits them better. But there have been places that are starting to pick up on what the Clippers have been doing. The Bleacher Report recently said, or maybe it was, I think it was Bleacher Report, who said they are the number one team right now in their power rankings because of that winning streak and the style of ball they're playing. Because they just look different. If you watch the games, Fred, you'll see a very entertaining basketball product where they're passing the ball much more than they were last season. Where Kawhi and Paul George, their two superstars, are leading them in assists. That's very different. And there's that trickle-down effect, and everybody's kind of bought in more, and guys are just more comfortable next to one another. Nicholas Batum was the perfect pickup. He fits the culture, as does Serge Ibaka and Luke Kennard. So the way this team is built, I think, will be more playoff-ready, but also they just have better chemistry. All those issues from last season, so far, this team looks to be meshing. They look to have rectified a lot of what went wrong last year.
And I know you mentioned Utah, but is there really anybody that can challenge or beat the Lakers or Clippers in a seven-game series in your mind?
I mean, I think it's very unlikely. They're still the two best teams in the Western Conference. But Utah is that one team I told you about last season that was starting to peak, but then Bojan Bogdanovic got hurt. He wasn't with them in the bubble. And they played the most entertaining seven-game series in the bubble against the Denver Nuggets in that first round, where Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray were going back and forth with 50-point games. And Donovan Mitchell has shown some growth this season. He's been even better. He is a under-the-radar, dark horse MVP candidate if they continue to play at this level. I mean, last night, they were down one to the Knicks at home going into the fourth quarter, and then they just flipped the switch, and they win by 15. Mike Conley Jr. is shooting the ball much better than he was last season. The Utah Jazz are the biggest threat right now to the Lakers and Clippers, but I still think there's distance between them.
All right. Adam, thank you. Appreciate that very much. Rodney, here he is, now jumping on, the general manager of the Los Angeles Rams, Les Snead. And Les, how are you today?
I'm good. How about y'all?
We're doing fine. Thanks for taking a couple of minutes. We know you were busy and are busy, and we do appreciate it. Let's start with this, your news conference yesterday. It seemed most of the questions centered around Jared Goff. Did that surprise you?
It definitely was not a surprise. I would say, we had a round table right on Zoom. It seemed like everyone got maybe two to three questions, and they all were derivative of the first question about Jared.
So Les, when you know, after the season, we all understand that Jared didn't have the best of season. There were some ups and downs, and obviously then the thumb issue at the end of the year. But when you start talking after the season, it's open competition at quarterback, especially after a guy you gave him the extension and paid a lot of money to. what does that do to the psyche of a guy that thinks he's the starter and the guy that thinks he's the quarterback of the future when you open it up to that?
Well, I think you kind of said it best, right? Hey, a guy who's won a lot of games for us. I've tried my best to let everyone know the guy's number two in wins since he and Sean started partnering together, right? He's only behind Tom Brady. He's ahead of people like Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. There's a lot there. That is a lot of success that we've had. I think this year, Coach McVay was not satisfied with how our offense played, maybe with the consistency. He wants to get it back to being more consistent, more explosive, be able to score more points, maybe score more points faster, things like that. I don't think he should apologize for that. So I do think there's an element here of what can we do to take that to the next level and not just be satisfied with some of those, pelts that are on the belt from the past. And going to the psyche thing, I think all quarterbacks, Rodney, you've been it. I've never played quarterback. That's a hard job, right? There might not be a more lucrative job, or it's got to be one of the more lucrative if you can do it well, but there is an element, right, where you've got to be able to handle a lot of things and a lot of noise and all of that. So I do think if, from a psyche standpoint, Jared's mentally tough. Jared's always responded, whether he's had a down game to come back and have a good game, whether it was this year in the playoffs, broken thumb and say, you know what, just put some screws in it and let's go play. So he's always responded. He's a mentally tough kid, and do rationalize that, right, this time is not the most comfortable for him, but most quarterbacks will get through that uncomfortableness.
And Les, as in the building, are you guys comfortable, and is Sean comfortable with if Wolford turns out to be the guy, that he can be the guy for this team?
Well, I think that, you know, that's still be determined, right? I think the interesting thing about John, give him credit, going back to not necessarily this preseason when no one saw anything, right? But when we signed him probably the year before, he did have some good preseason games. He put some exciting stuff on tape and a lot of that, right, in a preseason game. And you've been there, Rodney, where yep. – Let's call it, it's not a cohesive defensive unit that you're playing against. So guys with mobility can usually, you know, round up some big plays just on that. It's, you know, those guys are out there fighting to make the team or practice squad or what have you, not necessarily stop an offense. So he did that. He's earned equity going against our defensive, being on scout team, going against our starting defensive team and had some good scrimmages this summer. So there's some equity earned. And I do think the element, the added addition of the mobility gave the offense, right, another tool in the toolbox. So with all of that being said, I do think I think he kind of earned the shot to maybe get more playing time. And again, I've laughed. I've tried to chat. My idea was it's okay to have a change of pace QB, right, in this league. And I do think at some point there will be that in the NFL. It's a little taboo now, but when you watch a Florida play in college football, right, and they got Kyle Trask, who's a more, let's call it, pocket passer, and then they'll every now and then they'll bring in a more mobile player to loosen things up. But I'm not saying that's where we go. That's kind of been my creative idea. Point on with John Wolford, he's put some stuff in practice and on field to earn this shot in Sean's mind.
Rams GM Les Snead with us. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, AM 570 LA Sports. So when you say he has put stuff on tape and on the field to earn this shot, what exactly does that mean? Does that mean, at least in the mind of you and Sean, that everything is even, Steven, right now? May the best man win?
I think that's, again, those are things we just got through with the season. Everyone's coaching staff's trying to decompress. I think that will occur. We will come back and have the natural progression of looking at last year in a more in a silo, in a cut up manner, different situations, what we did good, what we did not so good, what can we improve on that has nothing to do with the quarterback, right? It could be have to do with blocking and blocking schemes, what have you. And once all that, as the off season evolves and heads into the preseason, into the training camp, all of those things will be determined. Those are still questions that are to be determined and going to be analyzed and thought about and, you know, figured out over the next few months.
All right. So that being said, going into this off season, what are you guys concerned about, looking for? We, you know, kind of beat the quarterback situation down, but other than that, get an additional offensive lineman? You may lose some players on defense. Where are you guys focused on?
Well, I think that's a good point. There will be a domino effect what does the cap shrink to? We do know for the first time probably in a while the cap is going to go down based on, you know, lost revenue via COVID. So that will be probably the first variable. Who do you keep? Who do you don't? And what's the draft look like? And you know this too, Rodney. It's sometimes, right? It's not all about acquiring a new player. It's actually letting a player within the building, a younger player, continue evolving, continue developing, right? And that takes time, and sometimes that's the case. So again, like I said, this is early. That's the general thought process, but you know, from an offensive standpoint, I know Sean wants to really take a hard look and go, okay, what can we do better, right, to be more consistent, not be as inconsistent, not turn the ball over as much, and be more explosive. So that's probably the general outline, and we'll get into specifics, you know, down the stretch here.
One issue you do have to address sooner rather than later is the fact that success costs you, and it's cost Sean more coaches. And it seems like every time you turn around, somebody's taking a coach from his staff. Do you have guys in the building, or do you go and look outside?
I think that the answer is yes. We have people in the building, but we have. I mean, since 2017, and Sean's gotten here, we may have lost more coaches than anyone. And not necessarily. I mean, for a, let's call it a promotion for those guys. I mentioned the Sean, going back to the amount of wins that we talked about Jared being a part of, right? That's compliment in most organizations, right? Like to try to come in, maybe grab some of the DNA, the blueprint that we have going on, and that usually means a qualified, quality human being leaving. So what we do have to do, though, is if you continue grooming from within, you got to really engineer a system where we can continue identifying younger coaches to get into the pipeline so that we can continue developing so they're ready to step up. But I do know this, we're losing them at a fast rate. So that's getting harder to do, easier said than done. It's one of the reasons why Sean went out and hired Raheem Morris and Jody Camillus, this offseason. He wasn't quite prepared to hire from within, but definitely felt like adding some outside DNA and people would be good.
Les, on those lines, I gotta ask you this, because over the last couple of years, I mean, we've seen roughly 10 head coaching positions filled or about to be filled. And yet there's still just two black head coaches and two black, I believe, GMs in the league. How do you rectify that? And why are we still dealing with that in 2021, where there's such a lack of real diversity in terms of head coaches and GMs in NFL?
Excellent question. Don't know if I'm smart enough to actually probably give the how or why. If I actually knew the right answer, right, I could probably write a book and be a bestseller or but maybe help us solve the problem maybe at a faster rate than we're doing now. The positive is I do think the new emphasis on it will help, and just as I said with coaches like us when we lose people in the hiring. The key for the NFL, key for college football, is to continue identifying, and let's say, hey, diverse candidates that are qualified to get in, and then at that point do their part in developing them for, let's call it, higher positions in an organization, whether it's college football, whether it's the NFL, and also during that process, right, develop these young men and women so that when they do get these positions, they don't just get them, they actually succeed in them. So that is what I do like is I like the passion, I like the emphasis that's being placed on that. I think all of us wish we had the solutions, but I do think with passion, with emphasis, with effort, solutions will be developed. That's probably going to come from some bottom-up type system like most good solutions are. But I like the direction we're going. I do think these processes probably take a little more time than just right one-off season. So,
but don't you think don't you think it's just a matter of taking a chance or hiring a guy? I mean, we see that, and not to beat you up on it, because I'm not saying that you're part of the problem. I'm just saying, the Chargers just took a chance on a defense coordinator that was there for 1 year with you guys. You know, with the Giants took a chance on a special teams guy who nobody really heard of in Judge. And yet there's several, and from the time I played, several quality coaches out there that just don't get a shot because somebody doesn't give them a shot. And I know you said bottom up and bringing people in the building, but there are plenty of candidates that are out there year after year that just don't get a shot.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think you make a good point, right? Whoever you're hiring as a head coach, you're making a bet on someone that you don't know if they can do it, right? They either were a coordinator on one side of the ball or not. They were either calling plays, right, as a coordinator or not. They were, were they on offense, defense, or special? You're making a bet, or you're bringing in a former head coach who may be available because of not necessarily succeeding the first time. So you're making a bet on that wisdom will go on. So that's an excellent point. It's about giving people shot. It would be interesting to know, and I wasn't a part of that. Fortunately, right, sitting down with a crop of coaches this year and why, right, we live with Brandon Staley. I can say that's a quality hire, right? That is a solid bet, right? And give him credit for coming in and leading a defense, calling a defense, implementing a defense without an offseason, and then going from, right, wherever we were ranked to one in scoring and points. That's why you're making those bets. But without sitting down and really kind of interviewing people and knowing, hey, why Brandon Staley was picked over this other candidate, you would need to be in the room. But you make good points, all good points. Wish I had the solutions. I think the wisdom I always have, it usually takes longer than we all want it to occur. That's unfortunate, but I wish I had the solutions, wish I knew the why. Right. I promise that I would try to tell it to you right now.
I know you would. Appreciate it, Les. I think I know it's a tough topic, and I appreciate you being candid with us. And you know, we always look forward to having you on, and certainly appreciate it, man. Really do.
Oh, no doubt. And it's a tough topic, but I do think the more we talk about it and get comfortable talking about it, will only be good, and not one of those topics that are taboo or sweep under the rug or, you know, sensitive things like that.
Absolutely.
Good solutions will come from a lot of passionate people who want to see progress, and those passionate people providing, you know, ideas for solutions. So,
hey,
appreciate you asking the question.
Les, before we let you go, and we appreciate your time, I'm just wondering about scouting this year and the virtual Senior Bowl. How does that work? And are you good with it?
Really good with it. It is interesting. And I say virtual, right? And this has been going on for a while. Take COVID out of it. Is I know right now I can watch yesterday's practice, and I'm actually got it on the screen right in front of me because we're in this one of these little Zoom rooms with some of our scouts. And So we're able, what happens is they practice on Tuesday at the Senior Bowl. I know today is Wednesday. They had a practice today. But the Tuesday practice film is sent to what they call the Dub Center in New Jersey. That film is then sent to all 32 NFL clubs. So technically, you could go to the Senior Bowl, sit in the stands, and maybe watch this player, this rep, that player, this rep, things like that. Can't wait to get home to watch the film. But from an efficiency standpoint, we can sit down right now, and our scouts who are cross-checking a position can kind of give a stock price, right, based on wide receivers from yesterday's practice, DBs from yesterday's practice. Come back and do, Wednesday's practice on Thursday and Thursday's practice on Friday, and by the end of the week, we have a good assessment of how these really good football players perform at the All-Star game.
All right. Thanks for taking
right
the time.
Right now, Rodney, I'm watching one-on-ones here, DBs, and I wish I could tell you who it is. But like a lot of times in one-on-one, I do know that the wide receiver here, I wish I could give you his name, but there was a hold by the DB.
Oh, of course.
And, of course. But the wide receiver still came down with the catch. But, you know,
of course, the DBs are always holding, Les. You know that.
There's no doubt.
So, hey, man, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it, and best of luck this offseason. And again, hopefully you can keep everybody intact there.
All right, appreciate it, Rodney.
Okay, let's just chat a little bit on the other side about what he had to say about Jared Goff, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Let us give you money. Your chance to win $1,000 is right now. Yeah. Text the nationwide keyword money to 200-200. You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. Once again, that's money to 200-200. Good luck.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Bringing you LA's best sports talk weekdays noon to 3.
Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah. Rodney P. Fred Rogan. It's your girl, Cardi B, coming back at you, Fred.
Love it.
There you do.
Again, our thanks to Les Snead for jumping on the show, Ram General Manager. What did you take away from what he had to say?
I think he was straight up. I mean, a lot of it was what we kind of thought about Jared Goff. I mean, yes, they did go to the playoffs a couple years ago, but the last 2 years he hasn't, taken that next step in a way that Sean McVay would have liked. And I think he makes no bones that Sean has not been happy with the way the offense has performed this year and the year before. So, a lot of times when that happens, the first finger is being pointed at the quarterback, and we'll see, let's analyze how the quarterback play is going. And that comes with the territory, unfortunately. So, it's not always just about wins and losses. At the end of the day, it is, as he mentioned several times, that they've won more games than most quarterbacks around the league together. But they've only been to one Super Bowl and haven't won a Super Bowl, and that's the end goal. It's funny how wins and losses are important and people talk about that, and then at a certain point it doesn't become important. I've lived that life too. I've lived that life too, Fred, where it's like wins and losses are important until you're trying to negotiate, and then you don't throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns, and it becomes that's the important thing.
You know what I think this is? I think it's really the Rams, Jared Goff, they're victims of their own success, because – oftentimes, I mean, you could live in a city, Detroit, for example, where you played, yep, where I was born. My kids are Lions fans. I mean, in my lifetime, I've never seen them in the Super Bowl.
Right.
In my lifetime. And every year, it's the same thing. So the expectation for the Lions is very different than it becomes for the Rams. Once you start to win, once you're in the conversation, once you're knocking on the door, the Dodgers, somebody expects you to knock the door down and walk in. And the frustration becomes you get close, you have the team, you're ready to go, and you come up short. At that point, wins and losses don't really matter, because now we need to get to the next level. And that's where the Rams are right now. And that's where Jared Goff is right now. You know, we're good. We're in the conversation. We can win this thing.
Yeah.
but we don't, and we probably won't, so we've got to do something else. He's a victim, really, of his own success, getting him that close.
Think about it. Think about it. What we were talking, people were saying about Dave Roberts before they won, right? Victim of the, you know, National League West titles, getting to back-to-back World Series and getting into the play, but not winning one, and people were ready to run him out of town, you know? And winning one, it takes some of the pressure, but now we live in an age where they don't win it again in the next 2 years, then they're going to be trying to run him out of town again, unfortunately. That's just the way it works. But, yeah, you can become victims of your own success, and especially sometimes when you feel like you've got all the pieces in place and one of those pieces is not performing well enough to put you over the top, it becomes very frustrating. And I'm sure from a Sean McVay standpoint, he's looking at it going, I've been pretty good at calling plays and innovating and doing crazy creative things with this offense, and I know that it can work, but my guy pulling the trigger is not doing all the things I need him to do to make it an incredible offense.
Other thing he said that I actually found interesting, he was talking about Sean McVay and what Sean McVay thought of John Wolford. And he said, you know, you may not have seen him, but we've seen him on the field. We've seen him on tape. And Sean has basically decided he deserves a shot. Sean has decided he deserves more playing time. I thought that, and it maybe you just glossed over it when he said it, I thought that perhaps was the most damning statement to Jared Goff, that the coach has decided, and Les was, you know, very smooth with it, the coach has decided he deserves more playing time.
Yeah, that happens a lot. I mean, it's not uncommon that you see it and guys see it. That's another thing. The locker room sees it. And I'll go back again. You know, Eric said it, and I agree with him, and you know this as a player stamp. You see guys in practice, you know, why is that guy not playing? That guy needs to get on the field. You know, it's kind of like Taylor Horton Tucker. You know, people are like, oh, he's a surprise for the Lakers, but the players knew once he got a shot to play. Now, he hadn't played a whole lot lately, but they knew that this kid can play and he needs to be on the court, and he's playing. So similar with that, although it's different, obviously different in practice, different in pregame, and playing quarterback is a different animal. Once you get out there and it's live bullets, it's a different situation. But to say, yeah, you deserve a shot, I get it. But the hard part for Jared Goff is not somebody that's had a shot and had much success playing before.
Sports. Top of the hour, we have the haiku. Always look forward to that. Up next, we must acknowledge this performance. We have no choice, Rodney. We have to acknowledge a noteworthy performance, and we will do that.
I mean, that is just sad.
Sad sack of the day.
Gotta do it.
Mileage.
We have no choice. Gotta have it.
All right. Go ahead.
You know who the sad sack of the day is?
I do not.
Emmanuel Quickly.
Oh, read it quickly.
New York Knick guard. He's a rookie, scored 6 points on a putrid 1-for-11 shooting in the loss to Utah last night. Now, despite last night's lackluster performance, he's averaging 11 points a game and shooting 35% from three-point range. Kevin, if the guy is playing that well, if you sit here and say, despite last night's lackluster performance, he's averaging 11 points a game and shooting 35% from three, and he's a rookie, why is he the sad sack?
So what's the name of the feature, Fred?
Sad sack.
Of the day.
Of the day, not of the season or of the year.
Ooh.
He's been good this year.
Told you.
He was not good last night.
Told you.
Sad sack.
Tell Zad me. Told you. Did you hear that? He told you.
You bitch.
You're right. I mean,
got you, Freddie. He right. Got you.
Trying to sit here and defend what you always say. Why do we acknowledge these people as sad sacks?
So if it was sad sack of the year, Fred, you would have already won.
Whoa. That's the double A we know and love right there.
And this of the year. We haven't even finished January yet.
You got it wrapped up?
Got it wrapped up before the first month.
Emmanuel Quickly, your sad sack.